You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media and Connecting Industry. I'm Kieran Moran. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry podcast, we have the director of the Hunter Lakes Corporation, Greg Story, who are developing the Hunter Lakes scheme. Greg has worked on large-scale infrastructure developments for over 30 years with investment banks and major international groups, including Morgan Grenfell, Chase Manhattan, Warburg, and the Chong Kong Infrastructure Group. In those roles, he arranged developments and investments in mining and resource projects, power stations, electricity transmission and distribution assets. Greg was involved in sustainable infrastructure in Europe for 8 years, particularly renewable energy, and is now focused on sustainable infrastructure in Australia. Welcome, Greg, to the program.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
Okay, so you're the director of the Hunter Lakes Corporation, and you are doing the project, the Hunter Lakes Scheme. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You have a number of hats and so forth. At the same time, you know, you've worked on large-scale infrastructure developments for over 30 years with investments banks and major international investors, including Morgan Grenfell, Chase Manhattan, Warburg, and that's just naming a few. And you've also been involved in sustainable infrastructure in Europe for 8 years. So tell us a little about how you got involved in everything.
Well, I started life in large-scale infrastructure, particularly energy infrastructure. And that was, back in those days, it was all conventional fossil-fueled energy and transmission and the distribution of the electricity. And that progressively led me into renewables because the first wind projects in the country, which I was involved with, and the first solar project, all require interconnection to the grid. And working for those large utilities, they were intricately involved in those developments. And it's probably fair to say there's a bit of skepticism initially about renewables, solar and wind, as being viable alternative energy generators. But that attitude quickly changed, and I became more and more involved in the development of those projects, wind and solar. And I moved across into the renewable energy industry and did that as a full-time activity 12 years ago. And having a fairly intimate knowledge of the energy sector in general, from generation to distribution, transmission, being involved in renewables was a very interesting area to be in because it complemented and the fossil fuel industry, competed with the fossil fuel industry. But having that overall knowledge was beneficial in the way solar and wind was developed in the country. And I spent a lot of time overseas in the early days of wind and solar, which started in Germany and then spread to Spain and Italy and France and the UK based upon government subsidies. And I'm pleased to see that generally around the world, those government subsidies are being significantly withdrawn, and they should be, because wind and solar can stand on its own 2 feet. And now with complementing it with battery storage makes it even more competitive with fossil fuels. So it doesn't need the large lumps of taxpayer funding that it has received in the past.
So I suspect that you've also, you've been involved, as you said there, within the energy sector and sort of at the beginnings in a way of renewable energy. And it has been difficult in some ways for especially Australia to get an understanding. And you've worked in Europe and they're ahead of Australia in relation to a lot of developments within renewable energy. But yourself with working and pushing everything forward and for people to get a better understanding of renewable energy, how have you seen that change over the last 20 years?
Well, there was scepticism and even resistance in the early days about renewables. The energy electricity sector was entrenched in fossil fuel generation and distribution and transmission, and that's the way it had been for 100 years. And as far as the industry was concerned, that's the way it should stay. So renewables, solar and wind, had to fight for a life. They had to fight for entry into the sector. And that did go on for a little while. There were still a lot of skeptics about climate change. And so the industry didn't receive universal support, whether it was from the public or the industry. And so governments compensated by over-subsidising the renewables industry. There was too much money, too much taxpayer money in the form of grants, subsidies, feed-in tariffs, thrown at the sector. And we're still working our way through those costs even today. But because of particularly Chinese involvement in the manufacturing side, the cost of wind and solar has dropped dramatically. By solar, is the cost of solar panels has dropped over 90%, 95% in the last 12 years, which is phenomenal. And wind generators are increasing in size from half a megawatt now up to approaching 14 megawatts for offshore generators. And the size of the towers and the blades is increased fivefold. So it's a totally different industry today than it was in the early days. It's accepted, even without the issue of climate change. And I must say that I've seen it just as much as a technological change, going from, as we did, from horse and cart to motor cars, or steam power to internal combustion, or water power to steam power. It's another technological revolution that we're going through, and it cleans up the environment. So it's as much about that as it is to do with climate change. And I don't think the industry talk about that as much. It's all the debate about renewables is all led by climate change, whereas the other half of the equation is the fact that it's simply a technological revolution that is here, and it's here to stay. And it's cleaning up the environment and making it easier, better, and cheaper for electricity generation.
Okay, so in relation to, renewable energy, and you've talked about wind and solar, now Australia's starting to get on board. Now, for those that don't know, we are speaking to Greg Story. He's the director of the Hunter Lakes Corporation, which they are doing the Hunter Lakes Scheme. And, of course, it's a proposed project at the moment. A lot of talking going on in relation to it. So the Hunter Lakes Scheme project involves the establishment of interconnected water reservoir hub in the Upper Hunter for repurposing the final mining voids and utilising them for large-scale water storage to drought-proof the region as far north as Tamworth and west of Gunnedah and provide agriculture and viticulture resilience. The scheme will progressively convert the open-cut coal excavations in the Upper Hunter Valley into lakes and interconnecting them with canals to create the Upper Hunter Lakes District stretching from Broke, south of Singleton, to Musselbrook, of a distance of approximately 60 kilometres. Now, I did go through that project. You're going to be presenting at the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference New South Wales on October 27. But as you just talked about the solar and the wind and everything's dropping there, this is a whole new ball game, this project, isn't it? Tell us a little bit about the project and also for people to get a little bit of understanding about it and how it will work.
My involvement in the Hunter Valley goes back to my early days in infrastructure projects and infrastructure financing, when I was involved with a number of the coal mining companies, not so much in developing the mine, but getting the operations underway and financing all the equipment. And so I was well aware of the mining practices and the issue of voids going way back. And everybody is flowing over the Hunter Valley at some stage, and it's pockmarked with these massive voids, some of which are 200 metres deep, and they extend for 2 or 3 kilometres. And a few of them combined has the same capacity as Sydney Harbour, which is just staggering. But there's any number of these between Broke and Musselbrook, and the mining companies are permitted under their licences to leave the final void. And we have developed the Hunter Lake scheme to repurpose those voids for large-scale water storage. So it's a generational project. It's akin to the original Snowy Hydro project. It will last for a generation, and it complements and works in with the mining operations. It doesn't require the mining operations to change or stop. One of its main elements is an environmental renaissance rejuvenation for the Hunter Valley. It turns that landscape into a series of interconnected lakes and with canals, which can be used for firstly the water storage, but also for floating solar, renewable energy, for tourism, for recreation. And it's a transformational project which has got so many different elements to it. It provides jobs, it provides all that water storage for irrigation in a very large area, and as you mentioned, not just the Hunter region, but west, north, and even as far as Sydney.
Okay then, so as you said there, the project itself, it's going to actually inspire a lot more things around it. You said to be able to also create new industries in forestry, in vitriculture, equine industries as well, and recreational pursuits, pumped hydro and floating solar. So it is a lot of work. Now, this has been inspired from what I can see. It's been inspired from the Ruhr Lakes District, if I pronounce that right, in Germany. Tell us a little bit about that one.
The main project in Germany is Lusatia, which is in the old East Germany near the Polish border. And that was a heavily mined area for coal, for lignite coal, for brown coal, like the Latrobe Valley in Australia, and had been mined for 100 years. And after reunification of Germany in 1989, they decided to instigate a massive cleanup about it. It was all about the environment, environmental cleanup to start with, but they soon realised that the voids over there, which were not quite as deep as here, but significant, would provide huge amounts of water storage, which is now provided as urban water to Berlin. And the area there is completely flat, and so they've interconnected it with canals, and you can sail and canoe from one end to the other. It's about 70 kilometres from one end to the other in Lusatia, and it's provided... It's now a major tourist hub, and as well as water storage and the cleanup of the environment. There are two other areas in the Ruhr and around Leipzig in Germany where they've done the same thing, but it has been done in Australia as well, in Lake Kepwari in WA, which was an old coal mine that's now filled with water and a major recreation centre south of Perth. So there are models around for what is needed to be done. There are challenges about contamination and salinity. There's challenges about integrating it with the Hunter water water allocation, which has already been done. So we have to coordinate with all of that, but it can be done. In the last 2.5 years, there have been significant downpours of rain in the Upper Hunter, which is excess to requirements. And it's those excessive downpours that we are planning to harvest and capture and store in the voids. And below, and as well as that in the Hunter Valley, there are lots of areas below ground from leftover from the coal mining, which can also be used for water storage.
Okay, we're speaking with Greg Story. He's the director of the Hunter Lakes Corporation, who are in the development of the Hunter Lakes scheme. Greg will be presenting at the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference New South Wales on October 27th. It's an online conference. If you want to know more, go to connectingindustry.com.au/events. Greg, where is this project going now? So the reception that you're getting from industry, from government and so forth, it's a big scheme. It's a big vision, if anything. And I suspect the Hunter Lakes Corporation was created out of it, of course. What's the reception like that you are getting from industry and also government at the moment?
We're getting tremendous support from politicians, from industry, from business groups, community groups, in the valley and elsewhere, councils, politicians on both sides of politics, state and federal, are wholeheartedly in support of the scheme. Everybody recognises there's some issues and challenges to work through, which are well underway now, and we're resolving that. We're able to lean on that experience that was undertaken in Germany in particular, because they had the same problems about contamination and salinity, and it can be resolved, and it can be resolved cost effectively. In fact, it is resolved in other dams and water storage areas in Australia. Most of the water storage areas in Australia have issues about salinity and contamination with the aquifer, and so it can be dealt with. And the beauty of it is that we're repurposing those existing voids, which you've left untreated, become saline sinks, which is very toxic for the aquifer and the environment. And so we're cleaning all that up and treating them. And we're not doing it by flooding a valley. Any new dam involves flooding a valley. So there's issues about the environment and Aboriginal involvement. Here, they're repurposing the existing voids and cleaning it up. There's been no new dams built in Australia for a long time, and in New South Wales it goes back decades. But in that time, the population has doubled and tripled, and we still don't have additional water storage. And now they're talking about increasing the levels at Warragamba Dam to meet Sydney's requirements, as well as flood mitigation. But in the valley there, there's any amount of water storage that can be utilised, and we are progressively expanding the water pipeline network around the country, and that can plug into these reservoirs in the Hunter Valley and be used to take the water as far as Sydney and into the west and north and northeast.
Back in April, we had the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference Queensland, where we had a number of projects like the New South Wales Conference on October 27th, and we had a project there up in Bowen that is creating a number of lakes as well, and it's a water scheme and so forth. And that, of course, inspires a number of projects around it. Now, as it says, states on your website, new industries of renewable energy, forestry, agriculture, tourism, and creating a boost to the local and wider economies, which that's exactly what it does. But as the conference, the New South Wales conference that we're holding, is about procurement, is about the supply chain, is about work, what are some of the possibilities that you see coming out of this project and the projects building up around it?
Well, one of the beauties of the Hunter Lake scheme is that it complements the mining. It doesn't intercede or require the mining to stop. In Germany, in Lusatia, coal mining continues. And what they are doing, what the miners are doing, they have changed the process of mining, and instead of backfilling as they mine, they leave the void open and are moving the overburden to the side and landscaping it as they go, preparing the void to be filled with water. And that can eventually happen in Australia as well. So the mining continues. We work in conjunction with that. And progressively, the voids are prepared and landscaped, ready for water filling, and progressively, they are filled. And as I mentioned, it's a generational project, and this is over a 20 or 30-year period. So it provides jobs for miners and the community in general. And the the benefits of those, of the water storage, is not of filling the void, is not just water storage, but it lends itself perfectly to floating solar. And because there is an elevational differential between Muswellbrook and Singleton in the south of about 350 metres, we can install pumped hydro, mini pumped hydro projects in between the voids. But from that comes the irrigation available from the, by using the water, irrigation for equine and agricultural as well as viticulture. And it's, a fish industry can be developed around utilising some of the voids. So it has so many spin-off benefits. It's a total plan, a total project for the renaissance of the Hunter Valley.
Okay, just a little bit about the Hunter Lakes Corporation. It does seem like that it was inspired by this entire project. Tell us a little bit about the corporation, and I think you've just described its vision, but where you would like it to go and some of the people involved there.
The Hunter Lakes Corporation was established 4 years ago. We have a small team, but a dedicated team with the right skill sets to get this project underway. We have been presenting the project so far to a myriad of politicians and industry groups, and as I mentioned, it has received wholehearted support from them all. We have completed a number of studies around these issues of salinity and contamination and water balance. We have worked with a number of the business and community groups in the valley, all of whom are very, very supportive. We have completed a proof of concept and are now undertaking a feasibility study. We have engaged already with the mining companies and will continue to engage with them. They're very important stakeholders in the whole scheme. But the investigation and the proving and the up of the project and the feasibility is well underway, and so far there have been no red flags.
Okay, believe it or not, Greg, we are at the end of the podcast now. Of course, as I've said during the podcast, Greg will be presenting at the Hunter Lakes scheme, which can provide for a number of projects across New South Wales over the next 2 to 3 decades. So it's a very exciting project. He'll be presenting the project at the Connect and Renewable Energy Conference New South Wales on October 27th. This is an online conference. It doesn't cost too much. Come along. It should be a great conference like the Queensland one, all about procurement for the supply chain and what's coming up and for them to be able to plan and so forth like that. But I wish you all the best in the future, Greg. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Kieran, and pleased to be involved.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.